listening to an extra shot episode on the Project Zion podcast, a shorter episode that lets you get your Project Zion fix in between our full-length episodes. It might be shorter time-wise, but hopefully not in content. So regardless of the temperature at which you prefer your caffeine, sit back and enjoy this extra shot.
Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. I'm your host, Carla Long, and I'm happy and excited about this interview today. I'm here with Bryce Veazey, who works for Major Oak Productions and is a super talented guy. I know because I've worked with him before. He flew to Europe with me once to make a video for us there. And Bryce, I don't know if you remember this, but I was upgraded to first class on the flight across the Atlantic, and you had to stay back in economy. And when you walked by me in first class, I might have said something about peasants. Do you remember that?
That does sound familiar. Yes. What I remember about that, though, is actually a good thing, I believe, because you had some sort of frequent flyer program with them. We got to go into the lounge while we were waiting to board that flight, which was my first experience going into like a major airport airlines lounge where they have free food and all that stuff, and you can sit in the comfortable chairs and watch TV. And that was a whole different experience for me as far as being in an airport, so I really enjoyed that. You can keep the first class as long as I got to do that. I was happy.
Oh, well, that's wonderful, peasant. I do not have that anymore. I am not flying as much anymore. And I will tell you, I miss those airport lounges for sure. Yep. So, Bryce, we've already heard your voice. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. Yeah. So, as you said, my name is Bryce Veazey. I have a small production company with my brother called Major Oak Creative or Productions. We go by both names. And then I also work part-time for the church in the communications department as a video producer / videographer, which entails all kinds of different work. Everything from filming, you know, with the camera and the audio equipment, all that, down to editing it, putting in special graphics and all that kind of fun stuff. And then making sure that it gets out either over the web or in a physical form in the way that it's supposed to.
That sounds really fun. I mean, it sounds like nothing that I'd be good at, but it sounds like so much fun. And you were given a pretty big task this last year for the church. Can you tell us a little bit about that task?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm trying to think when it started, probably early 2018, the idea was brought forward as everyone at headquarters was looking at conference coming to make a special video that would be shown at conference, but also have life well outside of conference. And that video's purpose was to, for one, celebrate the 25th anniversary of the dedication of the temple, which was at this past World Conference. And if anyone was present there, then you probably participated in those ceremonies. And then the other side of the kind of purpose of the video was to show what the temple means today, and not just a physical building, what it means in people's hearts, you know, 25 years after the dedication of it, how is it still alive and working in today's world and in the life of the church? So that was really kind of just the general purpose of the video, is we want to make something that captures all of these things. So we went through a few rounds of what would this video look like, what kind of video would it be, and we finally kind of settled on a kind of a hybrid of like a little bit of a history documentary as well as a very current style documentary that would showcase the reasons why the temple was built in the first place, where that history came from, but then how people are still carrying it in their hearts today. And not just those people who are closest to the temple physically, but people who are on other sides of the globe and how they carry it on a daily basis in their hearts. And that even means people who maybe perhaps have never seen the temple in person? How do they perceive it and its meaning in the world? So that was the, that was kind of the purpose that we landed on, is we wanted a video that captured those things. And from there, I just kind of started plotting out things that would need to be included in the video for those things to be accomplished. And what we ended up with, I personally feel is a really fun and informative video about the temple and what it means, not just the physical building, but what it means to people in their lives.
Well, that's a pretty big ask, actually. Yeah. I that's really impressive that you got all of that into one video. Who were you working with when you were making this video?
Sure. So as per the purpose of the video, I think we started with the idea that we obviously need a few leadership voices in the video. Well, so I'm speaking about the on-camera people behind, you know, kind of in the headquarters realm. It was, we were mostly, it was the communications department working with the First Presidency to kind of shape the message and the direction of the video. But from there, once I got into actually producing it, one of the first things I realized is we probably should have Wally B. Smith on camera talking about the experience of being the leader of the church in that process. Obviously, it started before his presidency, but he was the one who kind of really brought it into a physical manifestation. And so I knew that we had to do an interview with him. And then, you know, my dad being Steve Veazey, I thought we should probably have a current leadership voice in there. And that seemed like probably the best way to kind of give it the bookends of the leadership perspective of why the temple was built and what its current purpose is from a leadership perspective. But then we knew that we wanted voices of people who, like I said, maybe people who had lived here in the United States that had seen it in person. But we also wanted people outside of the United States, and we even wanted non-English speaking voices to be featured in the video. So through the communications department and just kind of talking to some people who knew, you know, apostles who know their fields, we determined that we wanted to have footage that was in Bolivia with Darwin Copa and his wife, Nora, and their three sons. We wanted to spend some time in their home with them, kind of seeing how they embody the temple. And they do some really cool stuff. We can get into talking about more specifics about, you know, what is featured about them in the videos, but we knew that we wanted to capture them. And then we also thought, you know, we probably want to go to Africa and get some footage of how people there embody and live out the temple. So we got in contact with Catherine Mombwe in Zambia, and she was, you know, more than happy to set up many things. We went to congregations and did home visits and all kinds of things like that to capture the essence of Africa and how it embodies the temple. And I really do wish that we could have gone more places and done more. I would have loved to go to Asia as well, parts of Europe, anywhere where the church was present, and really capture those people's stories and how they view the temple, how they live with it on a daily basis. Of course, you know, budgets and time frames and all those things keep you restricted to kind of the things that you have to do. And so that's the, we landed on those spots. But then also within the States here, we got in contact with Brittany Mangelson out in Utah, and she had a really personal story about her daughter, Lily, and just an experience that they had one afternoon with a little necklace that Lily had that was a pendant of the temple. And so she had shared that on Facebook, and it had come to my attention, and we thought, you know, that's a pretty good story. And if we can capture that in a video form, then it could make a really good section of the video that talks about what the temple maybe means to a child, and how children are seeing the temple, and how that it's a hard concept for a child to grasp exactly what the temple is. and what it represents in the world. But through, I think through their story, through the Mengelson story, we get a good glimpse as to how a child can kind of get a little deeper with the theology of the temple, which I thought was a really cool aspect of the video as well.
Oh, well, yeah. And you say it's hard for a child to grasp what the temple means. It's definitely hard for an adult to grasp. And I feel like your video is helping to maybe even shape an adult's perspective of the temple as well. And maybe even put it into like a sharper focus as to what it can mean and what it does mean to people of the world. I mean, I've lived in Kansas and Independence, but and so like sometimes the temple can get a little bit blah, you know, I worked there for 5 years, so it was my office building. And so it's hard to remember at times what it can mean to someone in Bolivia or in Africa or in Asia or in Europe who may have never have seen it, but once or not at all. So this is a really important video you've made to help people remember that this is an important building. What it symbolizes is important, and what it calls us to do is even more important.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, not that I would say that anyone has forgotten what the temple really means, but I feel like it's just been a good reminder. And this is even just coming from me personally, having grown up around the temple. I have a few memories of being, you know, being there while it was being built, my grandmother taking me and my cousins up there to watch it being built. But for me, this is the deepest I've ever understood it, was the process of making this video. And so I hope that that translates out and that other people are starting to feel that way, that it has the potential to re-energize your excitement about the mission of the temple.
Absolutely. And excuse me, I don't want to lose this. You talked a little bit about when you were talking about Darwin and Catherine, and you mentioned that you could go in a little bit deeper. And I would love to hear more of those stories about the Bolivia visit you and the Zambia visit, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So in Bolivia with Darwin and Nora, they on a regular basis open up their home as basically the church building. They don't have an actual church building in the area where they live. And so they regularly open the doors to their homes and invite the community in that they've built. Some of these people are family members. Some of them are friends of family. Some of them are people that they have just encountered out in life and have built relationships with. And so I believe it's every Tuesday, and this might change, Tuesdays or Thursday nights. They have a group of these folks come in. Nora has a little separate building in their house kind of area where they have a like kind of a craft studio set up. And she teaches a woman's group how to do all kinds of different crafts, like kind of DIY style crafts that could then be sold to make, you know, make a living to kind of give people who are usually somewhat disenfranchised a leg up in the world, a way to bring in some income to not only, you know, in a money sense, but to increase their own sense of self-value, because you can build something and see it be sold and people want it. And they also spend a lot of time just talking during that. It's fellowship. It's getting to know each other's woes and figuring out how they can support one another. At the same time that that's going on, there's in the main house, they're having like kind of a children's program, which is almost like to me, you know, coming from a Western style church experience, it reminded me of like a vacation Bible school. It was singing and games and watching some cartoons that had like, you know, moral messages in them. And it was really cool. It, like I said, it reminded me of like a camp or a vacation Bible school, but this is just their weekly activity that they do. And then of course, after those activities happen, everybody comes together in the home to do a church service where there's lots of singing, lots of music. Myself being a musician, I love that part because they're playing not only a regular guitar, but some really unique native instruments to Bolivia. So getting to see and hear those was really fun for me. they share testimony, they share in fellowship. There's, you know, some sort of like a snack usually at the end of it that they've prepared. So it's just, it's an all evening event that's just really fun to be a part of. And I think what I was able to capture with the camera, you know, is that it's just a refuge where people are coming together and enjoying each other's company and kind of uplifting their souls. And so that, you know, there's actually going to be kind of a more in-depth video that comes out about that. In both places, Bolivia and Zambia, I filmed a lot of stuff, more than what's in the temple video. And those are each going to be kind of their own standalone mission story that'll come out through the church's YouTube and communications networks here in the coming months. So you'll be able to see a lot of these things that I'm talking about. And Bolivia in particular was a very tight-knit community feeling, which was really cool to experience in person. Then, so to kind of give you some context on my travel, I flew to Bolivia, spent about four or five days there, and then flew directly to Zambia. So my head was kind of spinning by the time that I got off the plane in Zambia. But I got there kind of in the middle of the night, met up with Catherine, and we were in a town called Indola, Zambia, where she had set up, I think I got there on a Saturday. So the first thing we did the next day was we went to a church service in one of the villages right on the outskirts of town. And it was one of the most vibrant church services I've ever witnessed. And this is actually my third trip to Africa at this point. And this one was just, there was so much energy and excitement that morning that I, you know, when I was filming, it was like anywhere that I pointed the camera, I was getting just amazing stuff. You know, people with looks of sheer joy on their face. And as a videographer, I was just really eating it up. I loved it. It was a lot of fun. So I got to experience that big group setting. But then Catherine, along with a couple of other women in the congregation, regularly make home visits to people in the village who, for whatever reason, physical ailments or age or any kind of thing like that, can't make it to church, the building itself. So they come and do home visits to them, check up on them, see what they need, see if they act, you know, like any material items that they may need, just spiritual support, sit, talk with them for a while, pray with them. I didn't experience this, but I believe that there's, you know, serving of communion in those settings as well. So we did that. We walked around the village for an afternoon making these home visits. And that footage is, there's some of that footage in the temple video, and you'll be able to see that's, we're visiting people who are in a hard life. And those experiences were in a way, I mean, they're tough to get through. I'm there knowing that I have a comfortable bed to go back to that night, that eventually I'm going to come back here to the United States where I have air conditioning and all these things. And I have to sit there with a camera and film people who are in a much different situation. So as much as I appreciate the experience, it was a hard one to get through. In so many words or less, kind of hold a camera in front of these people. But I think, and at the end of the day, what I kind of, you know, think when I get back to the hotel that night is, by doing this, I'm helping share their story with the rest of the world and the rest of our church community, which I think is nothing but good. It's not taken advantage of, I don't think. I don't feel that way. I hope that what it does in the bigger picture is actually increase our sense of connection to everybody. And I hope that's my hope. But both of those places had such a unique and vibrant culture. It was a profound experience to be able to be with those people and film and then share their story and see how, you know, those who just view the video feel now connected to those people.
Absolutely. And I think one of the gifts that you give to the church in doing so is just exactly what you just said. It is a gift. Not everyone gets to travel to Africa and to Bolivia and to all of these different places that you have gone to, and they don't get to meet the people that you've gotten to meet. And you're absolutely right, Bryce. I've been to Africa only once, and Asia, and I've been all over the world except for Antarctica. And there are those moments when you just have to take a step back mm-hmm. and reevaluate where your brain is at and just say, you just have to be okay with what's going on in a lot of ways. And, yeah. But it's very, very difficult. It's really difficult to walk into other people's lives, and it's unfortunately really easy to feel sorry for them. Although that comes from our privilege, doesn't it? And then you recognize that they have a lot of things that we don't have too. I don't think it's equal necessarily, but I do think that it's really important for us to hear each other's stories, and that's what you're doing. And so I am really appreciative. And it sounds like in both places, in their own unique and special way, they're both embodying what the temple is and what the temple calls us to. In Bolivia, with the opening of your home and the hospitality and everyone's welcome and trying to help people perhaps find more self-worth and teaching them how to do crafts and selling. And then in Africa with the worship, the vibrant worship, which always just blew my mind that people were that excited to go to worship. And there are times when I try and recreate like an African type worship in the States and it falls flat so hard. Like it just has never worked. And yet I still keep trying. So, they are embodying the temple in their own unique and special way. And people in the United States embody the temple in our own unique and special way. And so we can appreciate those differences, and we can also enjoy those differences as well. And you helped bring us that.
Well, yes, I mean, absolutely. I agree. And one thing that I really like in both areas, I believe that there's some of this in the temple video, which I always call it the temple video. Its formal title is Becoming a People of the Temple. But both Darwin and Catherine had a way of framing what they do as a representation of the shape of a spiral, you know, that it starts at a point and it moves outward and it connects to things much further out than that central point. And they both had just really unique ways of phrasing how they, you know, see what they're doing as doing that, as starting with one idea and like expanding it further and further and further in this kind of spiral form, just like the shape of the temple.
I love that they used the spiral analogy in what they're doing. That it's perfect. It is perfect that, and you know, like that center point for me is always Jesus Christ. And then it spirals out and out and out. I love that. That's really cool. And they both mentioned that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. It's really cool.
So how long did the video end up being? Because it sounds like it could have been at least a zillion hours long.
Yeah. You know, the first cut that I put together of it was about 17 minutes long, I think. And we were aiming for like a 7 to 10 minute video to be shown at conference. So we went through several rounds of kind of trimming things down and trying to really just focus in on the core message of each little scene. And what we ended up at, I think was a little under 15 minutes, possibly. It's been a while since I've looked at that version, because there has been a further recut version that is now being used up at the temple as the tour video. They're kind of testing it now, because the temple does have an older video that really explores the history of what brought the movement to independence and why that, you know, area was chosen for the temple, which the newer video does touch upon, but not in the depth that the older one does. So right now, folks that are going on a tour at the temple can watch the newer one, and they're kind of seeing, does this, you know, accomplish the same thing, but it has some of these other elements in it. Being able to actually see the effect that the temple has way beyond its own walls. So yeah, it's, and I there's, as I mentioned, there's other things that are still coming out of the video, other cuts, more in-depth mission stories that are going to be about Bolivia and Zambia respectively. And yeah, it very easily could have, if I were to have put everything in there that would have been possible, it could have been an hour. It could have been a full-length documentary, really. But we just really wanted that experience for those at conference to be succinct and to be to the point. And I feel that we accomplished that. And now that we're releasing these other versions, I feel that we're actually getting everything out there that is included in the video.
Oh, that's very cool. So what was the reaction of the people at conference after they had seen it?
It was positive, overwhelmingly positive. There was just a lot of, you know, I personally received plenty of, you know, appreciation from people who had seen it. I believe that there is so many requests for it to be seen again that the audiovisual folks up at headquarters kind of set up a TV in the lobby of the temple that was just playing it on a loop throughout the rest of the week, which was pretty cool. It went up online and got lots of views, got shared a lot of places, plenty of great comments on the video itself. I've even received a few direct messages from people saying how much it meant to them, which always kind of brings a tear to my eye. And I've, that's, you know, to have somebody directly address me and tell me how much it meant to them really kind of gets me every time. So the response has been overwhelming in a lot of ways.
Oh, that is so cool. And so how can people see it now if they want to see it now?
So it's present on our church's YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and search for Community of Christ, you'll find, you know, the church's, it's got all kinds of, we have playlists of all kinds of different things up there. But what's cool about that is there is the English version, which is the original one. And then there's also a French and Spanish subtitled version up there. So it's available in three languages on the church's YouTube. I believe it's on the church's Facebook page as well. So those would be the best places to find it.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I love that they're, you know, trying to see if they can use it for the tour, the temple tour. I was a temple tour guide for 2 years. And I think I remember the video that we showed word for word. And
yeah,
it was definitely time for that one to be retired. So it's exciting that we continue to, we don't just let the old stuff go and go and go, that we continue to realize that God is calling us into new and different ways, and that we are people, hopefully, who listen and who try and respond. And so I think that I would think that we've only really scratched the surface of what the temple actually means to mm-hmm. people, and what the temple could mean in the life of the church.
Absolutely. And that's part of the video. I think towards the end, as my dad is speaking, he's talking about the future of the temple in his section. And there's even more to his interview that I would love to be able to cut and put out as its own standalone thing. I don't have any other footage to show, because this is all just thoughts about what the future of it could be. You know, there could be very conceivably interactive virtual ways to experience the temple from afar. You know, like, 3D walkthroughs. I know personally that through the communications department, we have been trying to figure out how to do that, how to put together a more virtual experience of the temple in a physical sense. But that's really only one step of it. Really, the temple is a meaning. It's a thing that we have to take into our hearts and minds and live out every day. So it's not just about the physical building. It's about how do we share the message of the temple in this new world that we're living in, all this technology, all the connection that we have, it provides so much opportunity. So how do we really take advantage of that and use it to its full extent?
Oh, that's really cool. It sounds really exciting. Well, Bryce, this has just been really informative and really exciting. And I hope that after people listen to this podcast that they go and watch the video. I mean, I'm going to go watch it again.
Sure.
Is there something that I didn't ask that you wanted me to ask, or something else that you wanted to say before we sign off?
I'm looking over just kind of notes that I had jotted down. No, I can't think of anything else. I think it's,
oh, well, then we rocked this.
Yeah, we covered it pretty well.
Bryce, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your talent and that you're willing to share it with the rest of the church. I know for a fact that you're a super talented guy with videos and with music and with just being around you. So thanks again for sharing that.
Well, that's very kind. I appreciate it. And thank you very much for inviting me to be a part of it. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks, Bryce. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use. And while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.